All right, welcome to September 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because it's important to know history. One of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere, not knowing where we came from. We just wind up going in circles and repeating mistakes of the past. So yeah, history's important. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard, actually. Just another dude with a microphone and an iTunes account, right here in La Mesa, California, next to beautiful San Diego, America's finest city. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you live here but you have some questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Why? Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check out our website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call, area code 619-507-4906. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. America! And now moving on to today's headlines. We will wish a very special happy birthday to women's rights leader Margaret Sanger. Plus, fall TV lineup news with the Waltons and Mork and Mindy. And we'll wish a happy anniversary to LeBron James and Savannah Benson. All right, now scholars, let's turn our books to page 1879. Happy birthday, Margaret Sanger, women's rights leader. Born Margaret Higgins in Corny, New York, in a strict Roman Catholic household, Margaret had 11 brothers and sisters. Her mother, Anna, had several miscarriages and died relatively young, at the age of either 40 or 50. Accounts vary. And Margaret believed that the miscarriages certainly didn't help her mother's health. Her father was an Irish stonemason who didn't work much, so at age 17, Margaret went out on her own and attended Claverack College and studied nursing at White Plains Hospital in New York. There, she met and married William Sanger, but the marriage was short-lived. She began writing a newspaper column titled What Every Girl Should Know for the New York Call, and began publishing a magazine called The Woman Rebel. The main reason Margaret began a crusade in birth control as a nurse, she had seen more than her fair share of women's bleeding internally and having serious injuries from do-it-yourself or back-alley abortions. But this whole discussion about contraceptives and the woman rebel got Margaret in a little bit of trouble, being considered obscene and immoral and therefore a violation of the Comstock Act of 1873, not to mention the fact that the only contraceptive allowed in Roman Catholicism is the rhythm method. And how do I know this? Because, well, I researched it. That's why. That's how I know that. Anyway, Margaret was facing some serious charges that could have gotten her up to 5 years in prison for her birth control blasphemy. So she bolted to England and found the diaphragm. Loving this invention, she smuggled some back to the United States and was happy to find her obscene and immoral charges were dropped. However, in 1916, she opened up the first birth control clinic and was shut down a few days later. In 1917, she would spend 30 days in the slammer at the Brooklyn Pen. Since she had a little time on her hands, she used it to her advantage and defiantly published the Birth Control Review in 1921. She founded the American Birth Control League, which led to the Birth Control Federation of America, which in 1942 became Planned Parenthood. It began getting federal funding during the Nixon administration decades later. Margaret Sanger led the whole cause and managed to change the Comstock law to allow scientific information for medicinal purposes. Her hospital staff was all female and included African Americans. She formed the National Committee on Federal Legislation for Birth Control and ran the International Planned Parenthood Federation. An oral pill, or the pill as we called it, soon became available. By the way, the pill doesn't work if you're a smoker. And I know that because somebody told me or something. Anyway, In 1965, birth control hit another legal milestone as the case Griswold versus Connecticut allowed married couples to use contraception. Like, aren't married couples the one who don't need the contraception? Oops. I didn't mean that, Mom and Dad. And a year later, she passed away. Happy birthday, Margaret. And moving on to fall TV lineup news. 1972, The Waltons makes its debut on CBS. It was a show about a father of seven struggling to make it through the Great Depression and World War II. Ralph Waite, who played John Walton Sr., already passed away. Basically, what happened to the rest of the cast? Well, most of them got out of acting, actually, and did various other things. And then in 1978, Mork and Mindy debuts. Back then, Robin Williams was virtually unknown. But when producer Gary Marshall asked Williams to take a seat to interview him for the audition, Williams sat on his head. And if you've ever seen Mork and Mindy, you'd know why that is so funny. Marshall hired Williams on the spot, and there were no auditions for Mork and Mindy. It was about an alien who was sent here in an egg to observe Earth. But enough about my ex-girlfriend. Mork and Mindy only lasted 4 seasons, but had ties with other shows like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and Out of the Blue.
And so that, Scholars, is going to wrap it up for September 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. I've got a comment board in place just for that.
How does Margaret Sanger rank on your list of top women's rights advocates?
Have you ever seen The Waltons? Or Mork and Mindy, for that matter? May God rest in peace, Robin Williams. We all miss you, man. So yeah, let me know what you think. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. We'll wish a happy birthday to President Taft,
the Heald Memorial in Chicago,
and Marilyn Monroe Films' The Skirt Scene. Don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.